It seems like a certain portion of society has devolved and another portion has evolved. So there's a split where it's in health, it's in politics, it's in spirituality, and there's this big divide we have in the world where people are just at each other to a great degree. And the people that are the ones that seem to be attacked, no matter where it is, are those who seem to be close to the truth. People that get close to the truth, whether it be in health, whether it be in education, whether it be in science, whether it be in spirituality, religion, no matter where it is, those who get close to the truth are attacked like they've never been attacked before. And so there seems to be a divide here. But those, I don't know, it's probably about a third of the people, I would guess, that are really trying to perceive truth correctly. And it seems like two-thirds, truth doesn't seem to matter. What matters is just the next step that they want for themselves. And so we have this divide, one toward selfishness, the other toward truth and selflessness. And like, say, I've never taken a poll on it, but I'd say it's about a third to two-thirds, something like that. Now, the third in the middle is we have one-third that's really positive, you know, doing their best to live the truth. One-third that is very antagonistic. And the third that's in the middle, they join the one that's kind of the most potent at the time, and it's often the negative third, making oftentimes two-thirds on the negative side. So anyway, we have this big divide. And I think everybody here is in that, belongs to that third somewhere that's seeking the truth. The fact that you're here just shows you want to find out something. You know, how many people just don't want to find out anything? I mean, they just want to live their lives, drink beer, watch TV, attend sports, have fun, and not think about what life is about. But when you think about it, think about how short it is. Just if there's just one life, think about how short that is. Average life is maybe, what, 75 years now? See, I'm 70. What does that mean? I got 5 years left, according to the average. I hope to make it above 100, but you never know. But anyway, science says this universe is 13.7 billion years old. Now, that's a pretty long time. You figure a billion is 1,000 million. 1,000 million times 13.7, that's how long this universe has been here, according to science. 1 million has 1,000,000 in it. Okay, that's quite a few right there. Now, let's suppose that I can live to be 100, or you can live to be 100. 1 million has 1,000,000 in it, and 100,000 lifetimes of just 100 years. So just think of how short life is, even if you were to live to be 100. Most of us think, a typical atheist thinks if he lived to be 100, he's pretty much won the game. But let's suppose the atheist dies, and let's suppose there is nothing. He dies, and it's as if he's never been. Can you think anything worse than if you were to die and then you have no consciousness and it's as if you have never been? That's what it would be if there's no continuance. As if you have never been. That's a terrible thought. Matter of fact, that's the most dreadful thought that I could think of. If it would be depressing to live that way, to think that once you're gone, it's as if you have never been. Now, if there's no continuance, even if the universe is really 13.7 billion years old, say we got another 100 billion years, let's say it all wraps up in another 100 billion years. That's a long time, right? But sooner or later it would come, And let's say it's poof, it's all gone. And it would be as if nothing has ever been then. If it's all gone, there's no memory, there's no record, there's no nothing, there's no continuance. It would be as if nothing has ever been. Thank God that's not the way it is. Thanks God there's an eternal struggle. And thank God there is no end. There's also no beginning. Because if there's a beginning, there has to be an end. When there's a beginning to anything, sooner or later, the energy fizzles out and there's the end. But you, as a thought in the eternal mind of God, never had a beginning. And so you will never have an end. But there is no end to your progression, and there's no beginning to your progression, and there will be no end either. And we will continue to progress and to change and to go from one state to another forever. We will go on to eternal lives on eternal worlds, worlds without end. Now, the important thing for us to do right now is to get in tune with our souls. We call this soul contact. In soul contact, you can contact your soul or angel. And all of us have had some type of contact with it, but many of us haven't been aware that this has happened to us before. But the contact increases when the person decides to follow the path. Now, what is the path? The path is reached when you make a certain amount of progress and you reach a point to where you think there has to be something more than this. And it doesn't happen just attending church. Most people attending church are really not on the path. They're just still searching for the path. They haven't found it yet. But when they find the path, they begin to look within themselves for guidance, because that's where the name of God is. It's like in the book of Revelation chapter 14, it talks about the 144,000 redeemed, and they had the name of God. Where was the name of God? In their forehead. And where was the mark of the beast?
Their forehead and your right hand.
Right. Forehead and the right hand. So the mark of the beast is an outside authority dictating to your mind and dictating to your labor what you will do and what you will act and what you will think. The name of God in your forehead tells us that's where you find God. You don't find God out there, but you look inside yourself and inside your forehead, inside your mind, you will find God. And that's where he is to be found. And all of us have been in contact to some degree with a soul or angel. And it may be, all of us have approached decision points in our life. And we have felt maybe just a slight impression, I need to make this decision. And you thought it was just completely your conscious mind doing it. But in many cases, your higher self sent you some type of communication telling you this is what you should do. Maybe when you met your life's mate, you met this person and this person seems familiar. It's like the song Some Enchanted Evening. You see the person across the room and it makes that strong impression. You feel like you're going to meet them again, you know. All of us, or most of us, have some type of impression about some friend. And maybe just somebody turned out to be a good friend. Have you ever met somebody who turned out to be a good friend that the first time you met them, you think, I like this person, you know. And maybe that's your soul sending you a strong impression, saying, you agreed before you came here to the earth that you're going to establish a friendship with this guy. So this soul sends a charge of energy. So when you meet this person, you think, this is a person I want to get to know better. Okay? Could be male or female, it doesn't matter. But it's often most powerful with our life's mate, somebody that we feel is a soulmate of some type. We often meet that person and we feel a strong impression, I have to get this gal's phone number or whatever. I have to meet this guy again. And you get that strong impression.